This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Mammon wants to stop heaven's vision from manifesting on the earth. Anytime somebody has a problem with your prosperity, mark them. Anytime somebody's got a problem with your promotion, mark them. Because if you find somebody that has a problem with your prosperity, those are going to be the same people that are going to betray you and steal from you and hurt you because you didn't pay attention when you should have paid attention.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
This spirit of poverty will cause us to feel guilt and shame all the time for whatever blessings the Lord has given into our lives. You know, there's one thing that this spirit of poverty fights in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Flip over there. This is the one thing that is going to fight. The spirit of poverty seeks to deny us of this one scripture that I'm getting ready to read to you. It doesn't want us to have it. It doesn't want it. He wants to make us think it's not for us. And here's what the spirit of poverty is fighting against. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. Poverty says, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop that. You will not increase and abound in all things and in every good work. I'm going to stop that. And we're saying, no, you're not. We know who you are. We have unmasked you. And we know that you are responsible for these things. So the issue continues to go back down to trust. It goes back down to trust. Look at Proverbs 11 and 28. The issue is still an issue of trust. This is what he was talking about here. You're going to have to choose to trust God and what he says, or you're going to trust Mammon and what Mammon says. But look what he says. If you choose to trust your riches, he that trusteth in his riches shall what? Fall. I think what another translation says, you know, trust your riches, down you go. But the righteous shall what? Flourish as the branch. So who will you trust? This is what we've been talking about so far all month long, is who do you trust? Now let's look at Acts chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. Now, I'll tell you a story. You ever heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira? And Ananias and Sapphira were in a situation where in the previous chapter, they had all agreed that they would do everything in common. And so whoever had land, they would sell their land and they would bring all the offerings to the land. And whoever had other stuff, money, they would all do it. But that was a particular time where they said, we're going to do everything in common. Everybody who doesn't have this, somebody's going to meet their needs and we're just going to take care of everybody. Now, nobody forced them to do it. But, you know, there was a real truth that was going on here, and that you see, can I benefit from this? Maybe I can kind of hold back a little bit and benefit from what's going on since everybody bringing all this money. Hold back a little bit, not give it all, and then since we're doing everything in common, somebody else is going to have to give to me plus what I held back. See, this was a little scheme that Mammon had. Somebody's trying to figure out, well, it was that serious that they did, that they died? No. It was like, I'm going to keep this back, make it seem like I'm lacking in the area so somebody will fill this area. You know how people, what's what I'm looking, trying to, con you. What's the word? Fleece. Yes, yeah, that's probably a very biblical word. I was looking at something a little bit more College Paul. We used to say jip, but... scam. That's basically what it was. It was a scam. So the scam was, let's hold back some, make it look like we're lacking in an area, and then since everybody's giving in common, we can get some. So he says in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, they sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price. His wife also being a part of it, privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet as if they were keeping their word to bring it all to the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? There it is again. It's the spirit of mammon. We've just unmasked him. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of that land? And look at verse 4. While it remains, was it not thine own? It was yours. And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? You could have made the deal. But see, what I'm saying is, somebody says, well, why would God respond like that? Because they were pretending. They were scamming the people. It's the same thing about, you know, when Jesus turned the tables over and whipped people. People don't understand that. You know, money changers, he wasn't whipping people because they had money in the church. He was whipping people because they were trying to exchange currency. And they were being very crooked about the currency that they was exchanging. It was a whole lot cheaper than what they were getting for the exchange. And Jesus saw the unfairness in the exchange of currency at that time and saw the same thing, a scam. Now, there's still scams going on in churches today. That's just like, this is the reason. And then he said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Notice it was conceived in the heart. How has Satan filled your heart? That's the spirit of mammon. Filled your heart to do this thing. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. He died. He died. Over a money matter. Deceiving the Holy Spirit over a money matter. He died. And so the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. That was quick. They didn't even send out no announcement. Get him out. Took him out and dropped him in a hole. Now look what happened. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, with his wife, not knowing what was done, she came in. Didn't even tell the wife your husband did. He gone. Watch this. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Trying to give her a chance to get out. But mammon will get you to lie. So think about what's going on. Mammon was saying, look at what y'all getting ready to make. Mammon is what moves you to deceive people. Mammon is what gets you to lie. And she said, yay, for so much, based on what they agreed on. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door. And what did he say? And shall carry thee out. Look at verse 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I guess so. But why should great fear have to come upon us for us to make a decision to trust God more than mammon? Why does something like that have to happen? Because in this day and time, something like that has to happen, and the spirit of mammon will argue the point and say, oh, that ain't the reason why that happened. They just died. At the same time, all over mammon. So Ananias and Sapphira, mammon was the cause of the lie about the money matter. Mammon was. It's a spirit. It's the spirit of the world that's behind the scam. That's behind the hustle. That's the spirit of mammon that's behind the hustle, that's behind the scam. That'll sell you something that ain't no good. That'll have you lying about it and then rejoicing over it. That'll have you to steal somebody's identification. That'll have somebody try to scam somebody over a check and commit forgery, and somebody found a new way through the computer. You're going to get caught. So enjoy it while you can. I don't even know how you can enjoy it. Man, I'd be so nervous. I don't know what the word to do. Oh, Lord have mercy. Every time the phone rang, oh, Jesus, they called me. Who wants to live a life like that? There's no peace there. Mammon will even have you to tolerate something you would have never tolerated. The only reason that woman hadn't left you yet is she trying to figure out how she gonna get a place to stay, all food. Don't mean she still love you. It just means she, right now she just gotta use you until she can get her stuff together. Or until all the kids grow up. But I tell you, when that last kid leaves, she gone, man. That's the spirit that operates in the world. Look at unsaved people. Look at how they think. Look at how they do what they do. They've chosen to live a life influenced by mammon. And to them, the solution for life and their issue is more money. Have you ever heard people say, you know what, I'm going to give our marriage 10 years. And if at 10 years, if we're not where we need to be financially, I'm going to leave you. Do you know there are people that do that? They think that. They got their 5-year plan, their 10-year plan. And it's not like, well, I'm going to stay with you because I love you. It's, I'm going to stay with you if you can help me to meet our financial goals. I would never want to stay with a woman who only has in her mind a financial goal. That's mammon. I don't want to be with you. Are y'all seeing how this is, we're peeling back the layers on this thing. And there's so many layers on this. You think, how much more can you peel back? Oh, we got some stuff. You're just now getting the foundation of this. But when you see what the spirit of the world is, you can't serve. Jesus says you'll love the one and hate the other. Okay? But you can't love them both. You can't even hate them both. There's always going to be a choice. And he says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not there. That's mammon. This is the same thing he was talking about in Luke chapter 10, verse 13. And the key to the freedom of it is what I've been persecuted for over the last 20-something years. Give. Look what he said. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press. God is saying, I can do better if you trust me than mammon will if you trust mammon. But it looks like mammon can do better because maybe you can see some things right away. But the thing about God is he's working under the hood. Oh, excuse me. He's working in the fog. The favor of God is moving on your behalf, and he's doing things you might not be able to see right away. But if you stick with him, you're going to like where you end up. If you stick with him, you're going to like where you end up. There's no way you can live a life as a giver and remain the same.
Amen.
I'm just going to. There is no way you can live the life of a giver and stay the same. It can't happen. Man, when I first heard that, I thought, well, I don't know if I believe that, but if you show it to me in the scripture, I believe it. Boy, they showed it to me in the scripture, and they just kept showing it. I said, this is it. And I said, I believe this. I said, I believe this. I am a giver. I am going to be a giver until Jesus comes back. I am a giver because when I do that, I am giving authentic proof of my trust in God. The only way you can give authentic proof, you can sit around all day talking about how much you trust God. But if you don't trust him with money, he's already concluded you don't trust him with nothing else. And I thought something was wrong with me, that maybe I need to let it go. I used to teach prosperity, but I had authentic scriptures there. I wouldn't say nothing without you saying it. There's a scripture. And they still wouldn't believe it. And that's scripture. They still wouldn't believe it. And let me do series. You remember that time we had the School of Prosperity, and we would come here on Sunday afternoons, and we would just do the practical and do it. And I was just like, and then finally I thought, well, you know, maybe I need something to understand something else besides this, because I'd have people for about a month or so would come into the church just to see if they're going to rebuke me. And seeing if we got open, they say, Pastor Dollar, the word of the Lord is against you on this word of prosperity. Get them out of here. And you know,
And I saw more miracles and more people come to the Lord. And I couldn't figure why would the altar be filled talking about money? Because if they could get away from mammon, then God could do everything he wanted to do with them. Boy, we saw great revivals in that area. I taught on the intangibles of wealth in a crowd of, I think it was 80,000 people in Uganda in a big stadium. And I'm sitting here standing, you know, line by line by line by line. And they received every bit of it. I spoke to their parliament the next day. They received every bit of it and prospered from it. But then I come back here in America and I'm like, why am I getting beat up so bad about saying something that's in the word? And then I realized it. Oh, this is the land of mammon. Oh, let me tell it to you like they tell it to you. The American dream.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, we're going to promise you even more. Yeah. Mammon sitting up there in the stock market, ringing the bell. Pew, 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 pew. We got our own church. We need servants. So now we got to go into the church, because them Christian people, if they ever get a hold that God wants them to live in abundance, we won't be able to stop heaven's vision from becoming a reality on the earth. Mammon wants to stop heaven's vision from manifesting on the earth. But there is something in prophetic word that we don't talk very much about. There's an event that's coming, and it's all through the scripture, from the old covenant to the new covenant. And there's a prophetic event talking about the wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred into the hands of the righteous who know what to do with it. Book of James prophesies that rich men are going to be getting rid of their money like their own fire. And he said, the just will put it on.
Yes.
But it's not going to be because mammon led you down that road. It's only until you can break free from mammon. I tell you, you don't think this spirit has entered into the church? This worldly attitude? Somebody says, how can I tell if the spirit of mammon has entered into a church? Do you see the lust of the flesh? Do you see the lust of the eyes? Do you see the pride of life? The world is in that church. Mammon is in that church. And here's the final test. Get up and take an offering and see if they sad at that saying. See if they jump up and scream and holler like they do when the choir singing. Choir could be singing, tear the church up. Preacher come behind the choir. Well, it's offering time, church. I say it's offering time. Yeah, yeah, amen. Hurry up, get it over with. There have been some churches, I never forget this. First time, it just blew my mind. They said, you know what? Tonight, we're going to let y'all go free. We ain't going to take up no offering. They said, yay. I'm like, they don't even know. You could not. Are you serious? Part of the reasons why I come to church is so I can come and not have an empty hand, because the Bible says don't come before the Lord empty-handed, so I can sow something, because I make my living through my giving. Mammon is controlling the church, and some of those same churches have to go into bankruptcy, can't pay their bills, can't do nothing need to be done. Why? Because the spirit of mammon is trying to shut them down. Remember in Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 6, you remember what that scripture talks about? I don't want you to go there. Satan entered into Judas, and then they proceeded to cut a deal, covenant to betray Jesus over money. The spirit of mammon came in, and they cut a deal. Well, before that, in John chapter 12, verse 3 through 6, I want to show you something here. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now, here's what I want you to see. It was very costly. So this ointment was very costly. And she took something that cost a lot of money
and anointed the feet of Jesus. So here is Jesus being the recipient of prosperity. All right? Anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of that ointment, costly ointment. Then said one of the disciples, now who dare speak? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. And look what he said. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And I went, now, wait a minute now. All right, look at what's happening. Jesus' feet is anointed with ointment that's costly. He wanted disciples. His attitude should have been, praise God. Man, he deserved that. Oh, hallelujah. Should have been rejoicing with him. All right, listen to me now. Anytime somebody has a problem with your prosperity, mark them. Anytime somebody's got a problem with your promotion, mark them. Anytime somebody come in your house and they about choke when they come in, like, Well, why you had to buy that? I know that costs a lot of money. You could have got this at the thrift store instead of that right there and save you some money. Mark them. Mark them. Don't listen to what they say. They're going to tell you they love you, they appreciate you, they for you. Mark them. Mark them. Because if you find somebody that has a problem with your prosperity, those are going to be the same people that are going to betray you and steal from you and hurt you because you didn't pay attention when you should have paid attention.